Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your voice. I thank you that you still speak. You're the God that speaks. Lord, I thank you for speaking to me this morning. Lord, I am completely and utterly dependent on you to bring this word to you, to these people, God, and I pray that you would do it by your Holy Ghost, Lord. I'm just an earthen vessel, but Lord, you're the treasure I have in this earthen vessel. And so, God, I pray that you'd pour out through me. I pray that you'd give me grace in my lips, Lord, that I would speak, Lord, as the pen of a ready writer, that I would write the things of Christ, Lord, that we would see the one who's fairer than the children of men. Lord, it says in Isaiah 53 that there was no comeliness, no beauty in you that we should desire you. That's no outward beauty. But Lord, those that see you as you are, see your heart, Lord, you are fairer than the children of men. You're more beautiful than any human, God. You're so far above us, Lord. So Lord, I pray that the beauty of Christ would be seen upon us today, and I praise you, God. I thank you, Lord Jesus. I give you my life. I give you my tongue, my mind, in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of this is Pressed But Not Crushed. And the Lord just prompted me. This was some things he ministered to me about a week ago. And then it just came flooding back into my spirit this morning. And I just sensed that the Holy Spirit was saying that I should preach this today. Exodus 27, 20 to 21. If you could stand for the reading of the word. Exodus 27, 20 to 21. And you shall command the children of Israel that they bring you oil of pressed olives for the light, to cause the lamp to burn continually. In the tabernacle of meeting outside the veil, which is before the testimony, Aaron and his sons shall tend it, or tend the lamp, from evening until morning before the Lord. It shall be a statute forever to their generations on behalf of the children of Israel. You may be seated. These chapters in Exodus talk about the design and the pattern of the temple and of the worship of the true and living God. And God gave Moses the pattern. He told them how to make the tabernacle of meeting, how to make the altar for sin offering, how to make the bronze laver for washing, how to make the Ark of the Covenant, the curtains of the temple. All those details were given to Moses in specific order, and they were all patterns of the true tabernacle in heaven. And the true tabernacle is where God is, but he gave Moses the pattern, and so he made it according to that pattern. And he spoke to Aaron. One of the things that was interesting I read recently is he spoke to Aaron. The garments on the priests were specific. And Aaron had an ephod, which was a priestly garment that he wore when he ministered, and he had other ornaments on that. He had a headgear that I can't think of the name of it right now, but he had all these different things. And part of the ornaments that he wore is on the ephod, he had these 12 gems, each one representing and written with the name of one of the patriarchs, the 12 tribes of Israel, and he wore them on his heart, and he also had them on his shoulders. He had shoulder plates, and he had the names of Israel on his shoulders and on his heart. But the thing that stuck out to me was that he was called to minister, God said, to me. He will minister to me. So your ministry, you are called, we're called a royal priesthood, a holy nation in the New Testament. Your ministry is first to Christ. It's to Christ. It's to God. We are called to be ministers unto God as a royal priesthood. So don't ever get so worked into, what am I doing to serve other people? Know that your calling is to serve and worship God first. Everything flows from your ministry to God. Everything flows from you knowing who you are in Christ by the gospel. Then you can minister to others. And then Aaron had on his shoulders the names of the 12 patriarchs, and on his chest, on his heart, the names. See, you can minister to God. When you minister to God first, then you can minister carrying the weight of other people in prayer. You can have them on your shoulders and on your heart, and it's not a heavy weight. It's a weight that God is carrying for you. That's what grace does. That's what the Spirit of the living God does. He makes the work of ministry light because he's carrying the heavy burden of it. Praise God. But let's just talk about this light It says, and you shall command the children of Israel that they bring you pure oil of pressed olives for the light, to cause the lamp to burn continually. And in other places it says, the lamp shall never go out. It was a picture of the light of God. It was a picture, it's a really a New Testament picture of the light of the world. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. He that follows me will never walk in darkness. Do you have darkness in your life? Start asking Jesus, let me follow you. Help me see you, Jesus. You're the light of the world. It's a wonderful thing to follow Jesus because he said, I'm going to take all darkness out of your life. You got some fear in your life? I'm going to take that darkness out of your life. You got some bondage in your life? I'm going to take that out of your life. Why? Because he's the light of the world. Praise God. But he also said, you are the light of the world. Jesus said a lot of things about himself that he didn't say that we were. He said, I'm the bread of life. He never said, you're the bread of life. He said, I'm the bread of life. He who eats of me will never hunger. He who drinks of me will never thirst. But he said, I'm the light of the world, and so are you. You, the church of Jesus Christ, you are the light of the world. You're to take my light and to shine it to other people. Not just take this good news of what Christ has done in you. Every morning it says, his mercies are what? New every morning. Great is his faithfulness. When you receive the mercy of God, it takes away your discouragement. When you receive the mercy of God, it keeps you from fainting in the way. Praise God. Hallelujah. Since we have received mercy, we don't lose heart. Verse 7 says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Do you ever look at yourself and think, man, am I frail? Man, I'm weak. I don't have much to offer God. Well, you got it right. We are. We're just earthen vessels because God wants us to be weak so that we find his strength in our weakness. We are persecuted. And I believe that the church in America has endured a season of great peace with very little persecution. And I believe with most other men of God, preachers, people that have prophetic insight of the scriptures, that persecution is coming to America. And guess what? It's going to make you stronger. Don't be afraid. It's going to make you stronger. It's going to make the church produce a pure oil and light for the lamp of God. Praise God. So persecuted but not forsaken. Forsaken means to abandon or desert. God allows us to be persecuted, but he's with us. He doesn't abandon us. He doesn't desert us. He doesn't leave us in our difficulty, doesn't leave us helpless. He's with us. He never will leave us totally abandoned or utterly forsaken. Paul said, persecuted, but not forsaken. He won't leave us behind. He won't leave us behind. He won't leave us just barely surviving. He will come with his strength and strengthen us. Struck down but not destroyed. Struck down is the Greek word kataballo, and it means to cast down, to throw to the ground, to prostrate. That means to be completely in the prone position with your face to the ground, to put in a lower place. Listen to this. It means to lay a foundation. Struck down is laying you flat out on your face before God. Why? To lay a foundation. To lay a foundation in you. To let you know who Christ is, that he's your rock, that nothing can shake you when you're resting on him. He will allow things to bring you into low places. But my friend, it's to lay a foundation. It's to make you stronger in him. It's to make you unshakable, unmovable in your faith in Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Glory to God. Struck down. We may be flat. We may be prostrated. You know, there's a lot of Christians that need to be prostrated. There's a lot of believers that walk around in their own strength, and they need to be prostrated. Why? So God can show them who their true strength is, which is Christ. So God can build a strong foundation in them. Hallelujah. But we're cast down. We're struck down, but don't be afraid, because God meets those who are humbled. God gives grace to the humble. God loves to come to the person who's flat on their face. That's where God has met me more times than any time in my walk with God, is in the place of being humbled, It's in the place of being brought low. He's met me there. Thank God he doesn't leave us there. Thank God he comes and he builds a foundation. Struck down but not destroyed. To destroy means to put out of the way entirely, to abolish, to put an end to ruin. The devil says, you're getting struck down and you're going to be ruined. Maybe if you didn't have a Christ, if you didn't have a Christ interceding for you, if you didn't have the Spirit constantly interceding for you, maybe the devil would be right. But guess what? You do. I do. I can be laid flat. I can be brought into hard times. But I have a God that says, he will not be abandoned. I will not leave him to the will of the enemy. Praise God. I will not let him be ruined, lost, or destroyed. To destroy means to lose also. To lose. God is not going to lose us. He's not going to lose one of his sheep because they were so weakened, so brought into a place of humility or destitution. He's not going to leave them there. You know who the strongest church was of the seven churches that Jesus spoke to? It was the church that had a little strength. It was the church that spent a lot of time on its face. It was the church that didn't have any strength in themselves. They were the ones that were faithful. They were the ones that had the least amount of reproof and the most amount of praise from Jesus. Hallelujah. Verse 10, always caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. So why? Why would God allow us to be pressed, persecuted, struck down? Because he's bringing a pure oil out of his people. Because he's building a foundation. Because he's leading us into a broad place. Because he's establishing us in himself. I thank God that he presses me against the rock of Jesus Christ, but he doesn't squish me. He's looking for something. He doesn't squish his people. Praise God. And Paul summed it up by saying, always caring about around in our bodies the dying of the Lord Jesus. What is that? That's our trials. That's our afflictions. That's our health problems. That's our spiritual attacks from the enemy. That's our financial problems. Always caring about the dying of the Lord Jesus, where suffering is coming upon us and we're letting it produce death in us. It says that the life also of Jesus may be manifested in our body. Praise God. We just had Easter last Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, and I preached to you. You are dead in Christ, but you're also alive in Christ. Thank God. Thank God. Hallelujah. So then death is working in us, but life in you. Do you want to be useful for God? Beyond your talents, beyond your ability, where it's really the Spirit of God ministering to and strengthening others through you? There's going to be some death at work in you. It's going to be some pressing at work in you. And God knows how to regulate it. He knows how to make it so that it's just right for you, right? Well, it might take a lot less pressure for Denise, for my wife. It might take a lot more pressing against the rock for me. God knows. But we leave that in his hands. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to that which is written, I believe, therefore I spoke, therefore we believe, and therefore we speak. See, God is, our light is through our speaking. It's speaking for Jesus Christ. It is how we live. It's our example. It's so important that our example and what we're saying line up together, that they're in harmony. But it says, we believe, therefore we speak. And that's the light of the world. That's shining. That's being set on a hill to shine for Jesus, to share the testimony of what Jesus has done for you. It's speaking in that spirit of faith. And that foundation is going to be strengthened through your trials, through your pressings, through being persecuted. God is going to strengthen you through it because he's bringing forth something precious out of your life to glorify him. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for making sense of some of the things in life that make no sense to us in the natural, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, for the example of Paul and all the sufferings he went through, all the pressings, all the persecution, all the being struck down. And yet, Lord, he was not without hope. And Lord, it produced a life in him that was so incredible. So Lord, we ask you in Jesus' name to strengthen us, Lord, as we, some here are in the midst of going through pressings. Some have been discouraged. I pray you'd encourage them today, Lord. I pray you'd bring great encouragement, God, that every pressing, it's not an accident. Every stress that comes on Monday is not an accident. Not if you're a child of God. Lord, we bless you today and we ask you to make us pure oil. Lord, as those five virgins, those 10 virgins, they needed oil in their lamp and as they waited for the coming of the bridegroom. Lord, we need oil in our lamps. And now is the time to get it, Lord God. Father, I pray for any that, Lord, have been discouraged by the trials they've gone through and have felt like, God, where are you? Lord, I pray that you would turn their hearts to you to trust you and that they would see that your hand is lifting them and keeping them from being killed, keeping them from utter despair, keeping them, Lord, from being cast off because you're with them, God. So I pray you'd renew our strength, living God. In Jesus' name, stand with me in worship. If you feel led to come to this altar just to pray, please do, or to worship, please do.